You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. During the pandemic, millions of Californians became well aware of the struggles from the Employment Development Department, EDD, because many didn't receive benefits in a timely manner. And for a lot of them, that is an understatement. Backlogs and overwhelmed call centers led to delayed payments for an estimated 5 million people, from weeks to months, and extreme cases years continuing today. But another egregious error, fraud was rampant during this time. Most notably, organized identity theft involving prisons across the state, totaling tens of billions of dollars. This deservedly received widespread attention and coverage back in 2020, but as time went on, easily accessible updates began to peter out a bit. An investigative reporter for CalMatters, though, has been reporting on EDD's painful issues since the start of the pandemic, with reporting that continues today, finding that problems still very much exist for the state's employment department, and ultimately straining those trying to file for unemployment in the first place. That journalist is Lauren Hepler, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Why have you kept staying on top of EDD in California for about 3 years now?
I mean, the real answer is kind of what you teed up. This just impacted so many people across the state. It was just months and months now dragging into years of just hearing from folks in really dire situations. I've talked to like a mother and a son who were living in a car because they were evicted while they were waiting on payments, folks who can't put food on the table. So even though it's like, wow, this was kind of a whole media frenzy, when you think about the actual impacts, it's just really hard to compare with other, you know, things that have happened in terms of the impacts on California.
Yeah, I mean, I covered this extensively as well in 2020, and I remember the conversations I had with people who went weeks, which turned into months without unemployment benefits, and the impact that you just stated. I mean, it impacts financial well-being, but also overall health, housing, and that really can't be overstated enough. But that was also 3 years ago. And as I'm hearing from you, you found that there are still people fighting for their unemployment benefits from the pandemic today.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of at first when you hear that, it's like, how could that possibly be? You know, like the pandemic, as you said, is almost 3 years ago when we started the lockdowns. And really what we found is that the sort of main contention has moved from the backlogged EDD call centers that people may have heard about just calling over and over and over earlier in the pandemic to these really strained legal and administrative systems. So basically what we're dealing with now is more than a million people have tried to appeal their cases, saying either I didn't get the right amount of money or I was denied money when I should not have been. And that has created this ripple effect where you've got folks waiting an average now of 139 days, so about 5 months or so, for resolution in their cases. And again, you think about what are all the things you have to decide every month in terms of paying off credit cards, paying for your car, paying your rent. And so folks are still being forced into these really kind of impossible decisions.
Yeah. I mean, it's also important to note that issues within EDD, they go back decades. It spans governors, and some problems are attributed to the original design of the employment agency, and that's according to the state's own legislative analyst office. So with the intention of avoiding going down a rabbit hole, because it's really easy with this issue, can you briefly explain and help us understand EDD's setup that makes it vulnerable?
Yeah, I had an employment attorney with the National Employment Law Project break this down for me recently, and she said the thing you have to remember is that California's unemployment system was created coming out of the Great Depression. So almost 100 years ago, it was really based around this idea of a usually white male worker who worked a full-time job. And we know that that's not what today's economy always looks like in California. Folks have part-time jobs. They do freelance. There's gig work now. You know, like there's just all kinds of permutations that our systems aren't really set up to handle. So during the pandemic, there was an effort to respond quickly and spin up these new emergency programs at the federal level that then California had to roll out at the state level. But then those became plagued with other problems. You mentioned the fraud is a big one that's now estimated at between $20 to $30 billion. It was lost in this rush. And in the meantime, you have folks that are in these kind of nebulous or not even just employment situations that there may have been a clerical error. There may be a language barrier when they were applying for unemployment where some confusion resulted in their claim. But at the end of the day, that's all resulting in this mess where you've still got people trying to fight cases that in some instances go back to 2020, 2021.
Yeah, and we'll hear from an individual that you profiled in just a moment. One of the biggest oversights to happen for the state, and you mentioned this, was organized identity theft that amounted to billions of dollars of fraud and intended for those who were currently unemployed. How was all of this possible, and is fraud at this level still happening today?
It's a good question, and there are still, I'm being told by state and federal agencies, investigations ongoing in terms of what was the real scale of this, how much, to your point, could these be ongoing vulnerabilities? But from what we know, the state has said, I threw out that one estimate, the state has said like at least $20 billion up to $31 billion was lost in fraudulent payments. Again, that was largely due to identity theft, where folks buy real people's information online and then file fake unemployment claims. And then there was another sort of subset of fraud that happened that's detailed a bit in this story, where people had state unemployment debit cards that are administered by Bank of America. And those also proved to be vulnerable. The cards were getting duplicated and people were ending up with like a negative $10,000 balance on their account. So I know it all sounds very chaotic, and that's because it was at the height of all of this. And because of that, we're going to spend the next several years still trying to unwind the fallout.
Wow. I mean, the B of A debit cards, though, it's not just California. I mean, they use that across the country. So how does California compare to other states with the issues that it went through during the pandemic?
Yeah, we did see some instances of issues with the Bank of America debit cards in other states like Nevada, Maryland. And last year, the bank was fined by federal regulators more than $200 million for what it called botched disbursement of unemployment funds. So again, that's an area that's kind of ongoing in terms of how much the bank will be held liable versus these state programs. But when you think about California compared to other areas, the one thing that really sets it apart is the scale. We know we have the biggest population of any state in the country. And so the thing I'm hearing over and over again from folks who study unemployment is that it just made the state kind of the biggest target, the biggest magnet for scammers. So other states, for sure, were also experiencing fraud. Folks were trying to game their online application systems. But unfortunately, in California, it just happened at a really huge level.
What does EDD say? Did they talk to you?
They did not talk to me for this story beyond limited written answers to questions. And basically their line is that, you know, we're trying to get this under control. They've hired a special prosecutor to go back through some of the fraud cases. And they say they've now filed charges that amount to about $1 billion out of that $20 to $30 billion I mentioned. There are also investigators in DA's, district attorney's offices, all across the state that are looking at the fraud issue at the more local level. In terms of the relief for individual workers, EDD has done some isolated things like filing for waivers in some instances, saying if through no fault of your own, you received more in benefits than you might have like in a non-emergency situation, you can keep that money. But for folks who are caught up in this fraud issue, maybe they themselves are being accused of fraud, that can lead to these long drawn out disputes that unfortunately are still ongoing for more than 100,000 people.
Did you get a sense from the inside talking to EDD employees what they have to say, how that time was for them?
Yeah, I've definitely talked to folks like who were on the phones day in and day out, and they describe, similar to what we were talking about at the beginning, you know, some calls where people were repeatedly dialing in really, really urgent situations saying, I'm going to get evicted if I don't get this money, or I am on the street. There's also very extreme cases where folks threaten self-harm because they just didn't know where else to turn with all of this. So obviously for the workers, that puts them in a tough spot. They're hearing all of this, and some of them were definitely frustrated, saying like, we wish that our systems weren't so slow and wonky. We wish we could have responded faster. I will say, yeah, some of them said, you know, they really like wanted to be empathetic, but at the same time, their hands are kind of tied. So I'd say that's kind of like the overall message I've gotten from folks who were answering phones. And then when you talk to people who are on kind of like the executive side at EDD, a bit higher up the food chain, there is this feeling of like, we should have seen some of this coming. There were very similar breakdowns after the Great Recession. We know that fraud is a growing issue for businesses of all kinds, for banks and for stores and all these other businesses with digital operations. So there's a whole separate set of questions about how California was or was not positioning itself for some sort of shock like this.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Lauren Hepler, an investigative reporter with CalMatters, sharing her reporting on why California's unemployment issues stemming from the pandemic are still a problem for EDD 3 years later. We're going to welcome someone Lauren profiled in her reporting. Nicholas Allen is based in the Central Valley and has been fighting for unemployment benefits for 22 months and is still going through an appeals process. Nicholas, welcome.
Hello.
You know, it's 22 months and counting now for you and your family. Where do things stand now?
It kind of just feels like the money is already gone. We've been able to take on debt and keep our heads above water. And so at this point, it's more or less like I wouldn't think I'd have to be fighting for the benefits that I hadn't filed for 15 years this long after all of it. I'm still here, and now it's almost principal. I know I didn't do anything wrong. I know I filed my paperwork. I know there might have been one clerical error, but that should have been an easy fix. And then to put me into the appeals process to the point where now they just told me now the only thing I can do is go to the Supreme Court, which I'm not exactly equipped for that.
Yeah. Can you take us back to that time when you initially filed? I mean, obviously things did not go as you expected almost 2 years ago, you know, because life doesn't stop, right? I mean, where were you, how were you and your family doing at the time when you initially filed for unemployment benefits?
Well, I mean, it was really scary because my wife was still working, still collecting a paycheck, but it put us extremely into a situation where we were living on credit cards. A lot of that debt is still hanging over our heads, and we've adjusted our life in 3 years. We've adjusted our life to accommodate the fact that I still don't have a solid income because I still haven't got a job. But taking on that debt in that meantime didn't help me. It aspirated the situation to the point where we weren't able to really look for daycare when that's one of the resources I would have been able to use back then to better help me find a job in the first place. So it's like they took away some of the tools that I needed to actually better facilitate me getting off on appointment by withholding my money. And then another thing is when you call the unemployment at this point in time, there was a lot of the recording saying that if there's a conflict with your money due to the state of the emergency, you would be paid and then they would come back. But yet somehow my case didn't qualify for that. And I was never fully explained why that was the case either. It's been very difficult it put me and my wife in a very strenuous position. It was strenuous on our relationship. We ended up having two children throughout COVID. And then to have all this fall on us at the end, it has been extremely stressful.
So your family has expanded during this time as well. And I believe your wife even at one point had a high risk pregnancy. I mean, you're still very much in the thick of this and in the process of trying to get your benefits. But have you begun to even reflect on the toll that this has had on your family?
We try not to reflect too hard on it. We've kind of just moved forward. When I've done this, like today, it's been a little nerve-wracking today to get ready to speak with you guys. I wanted to make sure I had some of the facts straight, so I was going over the files, and I even listened to the testimonial today, this morning, for the first time, and it pretty much is what I remember. It just felt very... She felt very combative when I was in the appeals process, and it's hard because I didn't think they were gonna go the way they did, as in the judge was just constantly asking over and over again about stuff. For instance, she was really asking about what I was doing at the present time of the interview during the appeal, which was like 21 months after I filed my claim. So I was really confused as to how it was relevant to why are you asking me now? Why do you keep asking me about now? Like, shouldn't you be asking me about the time I was actually on my claim? But it turned out it's because she was looking for any way possible, this is my opinion, to make it to where the claim didn't get paid, even though I had already won the first part of my appeal, because they had two parts on the appeal. I had already won my first part of the appeal when my employer tells the judge that yes, he quit due to COVID. And then that's when I won the first part of the appeal, in my opinion. And then, but she worked on for over, I think at this point, 15 more minutes, where she just keeps asking me over and over again about my current situation. Why haven't I gone back to work at my former employer? Which seemed weird if I was still in the appeals process with my former employer. Wouldn't there be a conflict of interest for me then going back to work for the former employer? That just seemed like a weird line of questioning. And then she asked me several times about how when I thought COVID was over, and I think I'm pretty sure I answered one time that I don't think I was qualified to declare when COVID was over. But then she reiterates with, well, when did you feel COVID was over? So it kind of just felt like a lopsided line of questioning. And then at the end of the day, when the verdict is given, she modifies my employment. She modifies my unemployment date to where really I only end up qualifying for about 2 months out of 12 months of the whole year.
I mean, that just sounds so laborious and frustrating, and there isn't a handbook for this, right? You didn't even expect to be in this situation. Lauren is, I mean, I understand each case is very unique, but I mean, Nicholas isn't alone in this, right?
Yeah, especially the point when Nick is talking about just feeling like he's being, picked apart every single detail of his case. I've heard that frustration when we know the state, when it came down to it, was just auto-approving fraudulent claims earlier in the pandemic. It's like, how do you let all of this go earlier on? And now when folks are, they put their best foot forward. I've seen the paperwork in Nicholas's case. Like he has very detailed reasons for when he left his job during the pandemic due to his wife's high-risk pregnancy. In cases like that, the state all of a sudden is like, well, now let us take the magnifying glass to every single detail. So I get why that tension would be extremely frustrating for folks.
For someone who finds themselves unemployed, needs to file for benefits today, is the process better? What is the process like for someone?
From what I'm hearing, it kind of depends what program you're applying for. I just had a friend who had a baby and has been dealing for 2 months with trying to get her short-term disability through EDD. The same thing, just calling the call centers over and over. She can't seem to get through. I will say that overall, the state's numbers in terms of the average wait times on the phone and the number of calls that aren't getting answered have dropped a lot from peak COVID. So that, the hope is that generally they've gotten over the hope, they've gotten over the hump a little bit and things are moving faster. But again, it's like if any little detail in your case is questioned, like Nicholas is talking about, you could find yourself in this kind of drawn out appeals process. Anything where you have to go back and forth with EDD is kind of uncertain, unfortunately.
Finally, how do you plan to continue covering this?
I think there's still a lot here to uncover about, to your point, like how has this happened over and over again with past recessions? Could it happen in the future? We know the economy right now is in kind of a nervy place. So is the state set up to weather that? Another thing that's interesting is that California has paid, tens of millions of dollars, over $100 million to try to update their claims processes. But this is still happening. So where did that money go? Like, what should taxpayers really be expecting from kind of their safety net if things go wrong? So talking to folks like Nicholas, it really just drives home, I think, that more scrutiny needs to be consistently applied to state agencies.
Lauren, thank you for your reporting. And Nicholas, thank you so much for just sharing what your family went through. I really hope it gets resolved.
Thank you for having us on.
Thanks.
Lauren Hepler is an investigative reporter with CalMatters, sharing her reporting on why California's unemployment issues stemming from the start of the pandemic are still a problem for EDD 3 years later. Lauren was also joined by Nicholas Allen, who's been fighting for unemployment benefits for 22 months and is still going through a lengthy appeals process. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.